It's good to be back. I know it's been kind of crazy. It's probably the longest break we've had that I know of between getting out right after Thanksgiving to starting back now. So it's kind of different. So, but also as I was thinking and really trying to pray through what to speak about tonight, I was looking at some stuff that I'd done in the past and just praying with some conversations I've also had with some of you guys. And so what I want to look at tonight is out of Mark 14, verses 66 through 72. And it's called, Don't Let Defeat Derail You. Don't let defeat derail you. And the reason I'm saying that is because oftentimes when we try to walk with Christ, there are times of what I would even call drought, where we're doing really well for a while and then we just don't. And so I was thinking, how do we respond to that? How do we respond to those times? Because oftentimes over the break, we're not with our groups, we're not with some of our Bible studies we're doing, we're not seeing people that we're around a lot, maybe some of our Christian friends or even the church that you may be involved in here on campus. And so all those things are sort of gone, and you guys have been at home or somewhere else for the last couple of months, almost again in additional isolation. And sometimes it's just even hard to read the scripture, let alone have Christian fellowship. But oftentimes, so how do I respond to that? If you're in that place, what does that look like? How do I grow from that? How do I recover from that, so to speak? And sometimes you may even think it's like a defeat. I mean, all of us as athletes, myself as a former athlete, we've all had great victories, but we also had great defeats in competition as part of the game, as part of learning and growing. And I think that's also true for us as followers of Christ. We oftentimes experience great victory because there is victory in Christ. There is victory in the faith. But then sometimes we blow it. We fail. We fall. We do something we shouldn't do. And then we beat ourselves up over it. Or oftentimes we let the evil one come in and sort of play mind games with us and convince us we shouldn't even walk with Christ at all because we can't do it consistently. And so all of that is really a trick of the evil one to keep us in a defeated place. So I wanted to look tonight at probably a passage some of you may be familiar with. It's a passage of Peter and his denial of Christ. And the reason I wanted to look at that was because I want to see how the denial took place, but also how the Lord restored him and what took place after the fact. So as we do that, let me go to the Lord in prayer first, and then we'll get started. Father God, thank you for those who have come along tonight on this call. Thank you for the blessings of being able to be here and teach. And I pray as we look at your word again, that you may look at our hearts, that we may grow in our faith, and that we, again, may know you better to the end of this few minutes than we knew you before. I just ask that you would direct our steps and help us to be the men and women you have created us to be and called us to be. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your strength. And we ask your blessings upon this time in Christ's name. Amen. So again, the title of this is Don't Let Defeat Derail You. So just sort of the context for our read the scripture, Jesus has been arrested. The night before, they were in the garden. The disciples were there. They show up to arrest Jesus. Peter sort of steps up and tries to defend Jesus for a minute, cuts a guy's ear off with his knife. Jesus restores the ear, and then everyone flees and runs. They're afraid when they arrest Jesus. And so now Jesus is on trial. And so that's sort of where we pick up the story, with sort of Peter showing up at the trial. So in Mark chapter 14, verse 66 says this, and as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, this man is one of them. But again, he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. And so as we look at this incident in Peter's life, just the understanding of who Simon Peter was. Simon Peter was a leader of the disciples. He was one of the first that was called to follow Jesus. And he left everything behind. So he has walked with Jesus for almost 3 years at this point. He's done life with Jesus. He's seen Jesus heal the sick. He's seen Jesus raise the dead. He's seen Jesus perform miracles. He's done life with him, every aspect of it. But now, when it really gets tough, he denies he even knows his name. At one point, Jesus, earlier in the ministry, had told Peter, "I'm changing your name from Simon to Peter, which means rock." And so Jesus is saying that you're going to be a part of the foundation of the church in one sense. You're going to be one of the leaders, early leaders of this movement, of this thing called the Way, followers of Christ. So Jesus has given him a name, given him a responsibility. But here he is as a leader, but he's not acting like a leader. So again, Jesus has been arrested. And Peter before, I love Peter because he reminds me of myself a lot. What I mean by that, oftentimes I stick my foot in my mouth. I say things I shouldn't say. And I have to backtrack. Peter is that kind of guy at times. He was always, Jesus would ask a question. And sometimes, oftentimes he would speak before he thought. And he would say something he shouldn't say. But yet Jesus, in his loving way, in his restoration way, in his gracious way, would bring him back to reality sometimes. Well, Peter had earlier said this. Jesus had said the disciples, "Some of these guys, you're going to reject me. You're going to deny me." And Peter looks at Jesus and says, "Hey, these other guys may deny you, but I will die for you. I will never deny you." And that's when Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me." So he was striking. See, Peter was trying to do it within his own strength. He was trying to be a follower of Christ without Christ empowering him. So he makes this bold statement. But he runs just like everybody else. And so right now we see Peter's in a confusing place. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes in my life I've been in a confusing place. What's going on? Why is God doing this? Why has God allowed this into my life? I think something's going one way and it doesn't go the way I think. And so it can be a confusing time. Well, this is a confusing time for Peter. He's followed Jesus, the Messiah, who he believes and is and declared as the Son of God. But yet things are falling apart. Jesus isn't on a throne. He is in chains. He's been arrested. His whole world has crumbled before him. And he's confused. And we see this, I think, sticking out. There's some warnings we can take from this. In the very first part of the text, it says, again in 66, "And as Peter was below in the courtyard," he's kind of in the courtyard where they're trying Jesus, he can actually see Jesus being tried. "And a servant girl of the high priest came," and this is what I want you to see, "and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also with the Nazarene Jesus.'" So what do we see? We see him warming himself by the enemy's fire. Those people who had arrested Jesus, those people who had been part of the crowd, those people who were saying, would say, "Crucify him," he was with those people. And he was warming himself by the enemy's fire. He was with some bad company. One man put it this way, a guy named Matthew Henry said this. It says, "Those that warm themselves with evil doers grow cold towards good people and good things. And those that are fond of the devil's fire are in danger of the devil's fire." So he was with those who were against Jesus. He was by their fire. And so as you see this, it's understandable that this girl, he's in a compromising place. He's not only in a confusing place, he's in a compromising place. He's put himself in a compromising position. And I want you to think and listen at this too. Here is a slave girl, a servant, who is confronting Peter. Now, Peter, Jesus says, changed his name to rock. That's what Peter means. Solid, foundation, strong. But here is a servant girl who confronts him. And I want you to hear this because by the very fact that she was a girl, that more than likely she was a slave. She had no power at all. None. At this point in time, a lady's testimony was not even accepted in court of law. But yet, when she looks at him, he is afraid to say, I follow Jesus. So woman, he's saying, I will die for you, Jesus. And the next minute, he's afraid even of a servant girl who has no authority and no power. And so, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking also, I can identify with it. I mean, I look back at my own life, and I challenge you guys to do that too, of how many times have we been in the wrong place at the wrong time and did something the wrong way? I've been there many times, unfortunately. But yet again, as we will see, God's grace still reaches into those places. And so that's why I want you to grasp this truth when it says, don't let defeat derail you. I want you to see that even in the chaos and the confusion, Jesus is still in control. He's still in control. You see, Peter followed the crowd and he denied, and then it goes on to say he even cursed the Lord. And what he was saying here, he was asking God to punish him. That's what when it says he took an oath, he was saying, by God's holy name, he can punish me if this is true, if I really know Jesus. And he's actually swearing in front of Jesus, who he had spent three years doing ministry with. He calls a curse upon himself because he is afraid. He is fearful. And so, as we look at this, I was thinking about denying, and I read this, and it means to deny knowing someone is to refuse to acknowledge a connection with them. In Peter's case, he refused to acknowledge that he was a disciple of Christ. They said, you're one of his men. You're one of his disciples. You're the one who followed him. And he's like, no, I curse that name. I don't know Jesus. You're mistaken. He denied even knowing him. But I also want to bring that home to us, because we can deny him too, even as his followers. We can deny him in our attitude, sometimes in our behavior, sometimes in our words, our actions, or our lifestyles. And so it's a soul-searching question of saying, Lord, what are the ways that I deny you in it? I need your grace to help me to be restored in that process, that I don't deny you. We see Jesus, in Peter, in a confusing place, a compromising place. You see, when we fear people and their response to us more than the fear of God and what he declares, we will compromise our faith. Listen again, when we fear people and their response to us more than the fear of God, we will compromise our faith. And so what does that mean? What does the fear of God mean? In Proverbs 14:27, it says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning people away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of life. What does that mean? It means a holy fear. It means saying, recognizing in a reverent way at who God is and who I am. That he is God and I am not. That he is the Savior and I'm the one who needs saved. That he is the Creator and I am the creature. Because when we don't recognize that, I place myself as God. Because I say, no, I know more than he is. So it's a respectful fear. It's a holy fear. It's a recognizing. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And he wants us to be wise in what we do, what we say, and how we say it. But that wisdom also comes from a relationship with who Jesus is, what he has done, and the grace that he shows us. So again, we see Peter in a bad position, a bad place. Verse 72, as we continue to look down this text, it says, and immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And I want you to hear this point. I want you to see this. It says, and Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he broke down and wept. I love this from the fact when he says, and Peter remembered. What was the right response? You see, the crowing of the rooster was a reminder that Jesus was in control. Listen to that again. The very crowing of the rooster reminded him that Jesus was in control. What had Jesus told him the day before? He said, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. God's word was true, no matter the circumstances, no matter what was going on. And he remembered the words of Jesus as this would happen. And the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus turned and actually looked at Peter when this happened. I can't imagine that. He's just cursed the fact that he even knew Jesus. And now Jesus, who at this point is already bloody and beaten, looks at Peter, who he's done life with for 3 years.